This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Brilliant. Right, so I've got some things in my basket. Hopefully at some point in the next 20 minutes, you'll figure out what these things have in common and that there is a purpose to them. They make complete sense. This one's a particular favourite. Stretchy thing. There's a few more. This is a good one. It doesn't fit me. Someone asked if I was going to put it on. I think those days are over. This could also go horribly wrong with my balancing. Anyway, bear with me. You'll remember. If you remember nothing else, you'll remember how I attempted to get lots of things balanced on here. So, with that in mind, let me share with you something you probably don't know about me. Over the last 12 months or so, I have been learning or relearning how to stand. That might sound unusual. I mean, literally standing on my feet. I'm obviously managing to do it quite well at the minute, but it takes quite a lot of practice. And I haven't experienced any major trauma, nothing's gone horribly wrong, but when I stand and when I walk, I'm in quite a lot of pain. I do it quite a lot. I didn't realise it shouldn't be painful, because that's always been my experience. But what I'm doing is I'm learning, under the supervision of my Pilates teacher, who is a trained physio, I've been learning how to control my foot to work well, and how to actually use my toes to help me stand up rather than fall over. It's tiny moments, tiny movements, done repeatedly, again and again, and I have been learning that I can move all my toes independently, just like my fingers, and building strength and control and power. So I can now move more freely. I can walk around the stage, I can come up and down the steps, and I have confidence that when I do so, I'm not going to accidentally buckle and end up in a pile on the floor. Now, this is linked. I promised all these props in that story. And you'll see where I'm going soon. Some of you might have already got a little inkling, because we are talking again from Ephesians 6. We're focusing on power over the last few weeks based on our theme for the year of kingdom, power, and glory. Now, David spoke 2 weeks ago about standing in the context of a battleground, and God giving us armour, actively providing all that we need so that we can hold our ground against the devil's schemes. And then last week, Liz, who was just up here, spoke about the shield of faith, putting up our protection, calling on those around us to raise a shield of faith over us when we feel we're under attack. Now this week, I'd like to look at the armour of God as a foundational way to approach our daily lives. So let's turn to the Bible. And we're going to read Ephesians 6, 10 to 17 together. And I've asked Matt to come and read it for me.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Thank you, Matt. So let me ask you a question. Do you think of yourself as strong? What sort of strong? Maybe you've got physical muscles, give me a little test. Maybe you feel mentally strong, you feel resilient. Maybe you're in a strong financial position with assets at your disposal. But how do you look after your physical and mental strength? Another question, do you think of yourself as powerful in a worldly sense? Or how about in a spiritual sense? Now, strength and power, I believe, are fairly relative and things which I personally find easier to understand if demonstrated. So let me explain. So my children probably don't think I am that strong. I often defer to Matt, my husband, to open jars for me, to carry things for me. And so they've developed this idea in their head that I am weak. Until we went shopping in the summer holidays and I took them to the greengrocer. And they said, we'll help, we'll help. They went to pick up the bags. And then they put down the bags. They said, these are too heavy. So I came along, picked up both bags, and just walked off. They looked at me as if to say, hang on, why was getting Dad to do everything for you? He just likes to help. It's great. So maybe I am strong, or I'm stronger than them at least. My children probably also don't think that I'm very powerful. Yet sometimes, and let me stress the sometimes, maybe occasionally, just a calm look over at a group of giddy children is just enough to make them settle. Perhaps, this is my favourite one, a prayer of authority over a misbehaving printer. Some of you are laughing, you know, you've been there, maybe you've done it, is enough to command the printer back under the authority of the kingdom of God and to print the printing, please, now in the name of Jesus. If you've not tried it, there's some who are with me on that one. So maybe I am powerful. Who knows? So this passage in Ephesians instructs us to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and it then tells us how to do so. So before I go any further, I think you're still with me. I've heard some laughs, but let's just check. Who would like to be strong in the Lord? Yeah, there's a show of hands for those of you watching online and a murmuring. And who would like to be strong in the Lord's mighty power? Yeah, again, you're getting a little bit more vocal. So shall we learn or remind ourselves how to do that this morning? Yes, thank you. That was the right answer. If you said no, I'm just out of here with my Pilates ball. So in the same way that I am learning to strengthen my feet and my joints through small, repeated daily actions, I believe that as followers of Jesus, we can learn to become strong in Jesus, strong in the Lord, through putting on the armour of God that we read about daily. And in doing so, we can learn to operate in God's power. But perhaps, like me, you can fall into the trap of thinking that the armour of God is just there for a crisis, just there for in the cupboard for when things have gone horribly, horribly wrong, rather than as a daily routine. And if so, then my prayer for you and for me this morning is that this restarts a routine of putting on the armour of God each day, every day, whether it's a good day, a bad day, a hard day, a joyful day, whatever it might be. So let's remind ourselves of the armour. So we started with the belt of truth. I don't have a belt with me. We could use the Pilates band. This could be a belt. Imagine this is a belt. Putting on the belt of truth, speaking the truth, listening to God's truth, not being swayed by gossip, social media, whatever the latest fad is. Not falling into the lie and the trap of comparing ourselves to others, being swayed. Seeking actual truth, not the truth that is comfortable for us. And we have protection when we understand fully for ourselves that God's truth is more powerful than Satan's lies. The breastplate of righteousness. I think this is kind of the breastplate. The best I could do, really. It goes on the right part of the body. Knowing that thanks to Jesus, we are made right with God. Everything that we have ever done or could or would ever do is forgiven. The punishment has been taken by Jesus on the cross. Now, the breastplate covers our hearts in our physical body. It covers that core organ that we need to stay alive. But we often think of our hearts as tied up in our emotions, our self-worth, our self-belief, how we trust others. If our hearts are broken, then that trust is broken down with others. And so this picture of the breastplate of righteousness for me reminds me that our hearts, both the organ and our feelings, our emotions, are protected by that knowledge that God loves us enough to send his son to die for us, that we are enough. The shoes. Got some nice red shoes on today. Can't miss them. Can't miss my feet when I'm very stable now and not falling down anything. The shoes are the gospel of peace. Our willingness. Are we willing to go where God asks us to go and bring God's peace with us into the places that we are called to go? Where is God asking us to go and tell others about him? What is our God-given purpose in life? Are we called to demonstrate and declare Jesus in our workplaces? Are we called to model forgiveness in our families? Or is God asking us to maybe do a scary thing and to give of our time and our comforts and demonstrate God's love to people with chaotic lives? Many people in this church do that by serving at the Lantern or the food pantry or the Child Contact Centre. Many of you will do it in all sorts of other ways, but where is God calling you to go and to be a carrier of his peace in a world that desperately needs peace? The shield of faith. Now, Liz talked a lot about this last week, and this shield is our protection, our safe place where we can be secure in the knowledge of God's goodness, God's power, and God's love. And when we feel under attack, the shield of faith offers us a place of refuge. Now, a shield often carries the emblem of the kingdom that the soldiers were part of. In our case, I like to think of this as a reminder that we are protected. We are part of God's kingdom. And as such, we already know the outcome of the battle we're in. God will be victorious at the end of our days. God's kingdom is more powerful than any other kingdoms we can encounter. And so when we carry the shield of faith, we go forward knowing that we are saying, this is who we're with. We can step into this place under the protection of God. The helmet of salvation. This will really mess with the microphone. Don't worry, I'm not going to try and put it on. It's also a little less intimidating than the actual helmet. But the helmet, knowing that we have been saved. And by that, I mean knowing and believing that Jesus died for us and that we are now part of God's kingdom that I've described. The helmet protects our minds from lies. And it helps us to remember God's truth from the belt when we hear it. We've just had the amazing story of the four girls who were baptized and have made a public declaration saying, this is what I believe. I've received this helmet of salvation. I know that I am saved into God's kingdom. And perhaps you're sitting here or watching online and you've been considering baptism and you're just on the edge of going, do I want to do that? Do I want to stand up and make that declaration? And if that's you and you're thinking about it, please do come talk to me or one of the others at the end. We would love to just share with you about what that is and help you on that journey towards getting baptized and just putting that date in your diary and allowing us to come celebrate with you. So we've gone through five pieces of armor so far, and these all protect us. They guard us, they defend us, they look after us where we might feel weak and exposed. But it is the last piece of armor, which is our weapon. It doesn't look like much of a weapon, if I'm honest. It's seen better days. It's been in a few battles. It's got a little bit wobbly. The sword of the Spirit. Now, we are called to put on the full armor of God, not just part of it. And as Liz described last week, this armor would have been imagery that the readers at the time would have been fully aware of. There's a sense of completeness that you put on all the armor and then you have your sword at the ready as well. And I think we lose some of that today because we don't. Has anyone else put on armor this week, like literal armor? No. No, it's not a requirement in many jobs or roles or places of work or home. So it's unfamiliar to us, but I think we can all understand the imagery it brings. And I think there's an order to the armour. Again, as someone who hasn't put on a full coat of arms bear with me, but I feel like there's some pieces you have to put on first, because otherwise how do you get, surely the helmet has to go on near the end, otherwise how would you get other things over it? I'm sure there's a right way to do this. But I think we probably need to put on all the pieces first before we can pick up this sword. Because if you're trying to get this sword through things, I think that could just get awkward. Tying your shoelaces with a sword in your hand. Yeah, I don't see how I'd do that anyway. The sword of the Spirit. I think before we can really wield the power of the sword of the Spirit, we need the rest of the armour on first. If you disagree with me on that, that's absolutely fine. But let's talk about it, because I'd love to know what you think and build my understanding a bit more. Now, in Ephesians 6, the word for the sword of the Spirit that's used is chrema. Again, if I pronounced that wrong, I'm very sorry. Again, please do come and correct me. But the word of God. And let me share with you this definition or explanation, which I found really helpful. It's described as the spoken word. And the scholars think that in the New Testament, it's used for the Lord speaking his dynamic, living word in a believer to in-birth faith. Let me say that again. The Lord speaking his dynamic, living word in a believer to in-birth faith. Now, words are powerful, and we believe that the Bible is God-inspired, it's trustworthy, it's true, it has many different styles of writing in it, but it's a gift for us to learn from. Lots of the time to wrestle with, to seek to understand. And as followers of Jesus, it is a really, really precious book. A place of instruction, counsel, a bit of a plumb line for us to measure things by, and it's full of wisdom. But in this bit in Ephesians, I feel like it's telling us that the sword of the Spirit is even more than that. This spoken word is dynamic and something which can build our faith even more than just words on a page. So if you can join me for a moment and picture in your mind's eye this soldier on the battlefield, full armour on, lifting their sword. But now let's shift the picture. And if you can just form a mental image of yourself this last week at a point where you've perhaps felt vulnerable or under attack in some way. Even with all the armour on, weighing heavy, you feel stuck, stationary, still exposed in some way. And now let's imagine actively wielding the sword of the Spirit as a dynamic, living word. And some friends are going to help me by declaring out loud some of the truths from the Bible.
Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. John 8:32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honour to his name.
What a difference the spoken word shared out loud makes. What a difference it makes in those places where we need something from God. We need that reassurance that we are not on our own. There's something really powerful about speaking the words from the Bible out loud and hearing them rather than just reading them. I think it builds faith in rooms when we pray scripture out loud, and when we learn how to wield the sword of the Spirit effectively, when we know our Bible enough to be able to to know what it says in certain situations, to know the context enough to share it appropriately, to be able to direct people back to God who knows everything going on, rather than bring our own interpretation of what's happening. So I asked you earlier, who would like to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power? And I'm reckoning I got maybe 70%. I'm going to give the 30% of you the benefit of the doubt that you didn't realise it was fully interactive. And then I asked the bigger question. No, I haven't asked you that yet. I'm going to ask you now. The bigger question is, and this is where the rubber hits the road, are you as strong in the Lord and in his mighty power as you could be? Or as you'd like to be? And are you willing to put in the time, the energy, and the training to get there? I'm asking myself this question, and I know that I am not as strong in the Lord as I'd like to be or could be. And on a good day, I'm willing to put in the time, energy, and on training. And on the bad day, I'd rather just probably stay in bed with my feet up, if I'm brutally honest. But I would like to have more good days than bad days. And I would like to be more powerful for God's glory than I currently am. So let me ask you another question. How much armour do you think that you have on now, or wear on a daily basis? How many of these things are you actually bothering to put on in the morning? And at the risk of offending you, I think collectively we're probably half-dressed in terms of armour. Everyone in the room is fully clothed. If you're watching online, this is not a strange place to come to. Just thought I'd clarify. You've got to remember your audience when you're talking out loud like this. So I suspect between us that there's some belts and drawers. Maybe there's some kind of helmets and breastplates. I don't know, in the garage? Car boot. Wherever you keep things, store things that you think could be useful and you should have to hand, but really you're not actually planning on using them. I suspect that we probably have some swords with us, ready to go on the attack for anyone who offends, make some noise. But I suspect they're probably quite blunt because we're not exercising that study of the Bible and learning the truth, let alone using it in the right moment. Maybe I'm just speaking about myself. Maybe the rest of you are not. If so, please come and inspire me to teach. I think we know, we probably have Bibles. And if you don't have a Bible, please do feel free to take one in the pews. If you don't have one at home, you can take one. It's our gift to you. Because this Bible, and I did find the biggest one I could bring with me. It's quite heavy. You can study it. There's lots of clever tips in this one to help you, just to set you on the right path. But this isn't just a book. This is dynamic. It's living. We need to learn and experience it, learn how to use it, get excited about reading it even. Or different versions. If you don't like the one you've got, try a different version and see what you can learn from that. Or talk to someone. There's probably a number of people in this room who are excited about reading the Bible. So find one of them and ask them where to begin. So my question, I've asked her lots of questions, but hopefully just to get you thinking. So today, what are you going to put on? Which of the pieces of the armour stood out to you? Or are you just going to go for the whole job? Not from head to foot, I just think I decided that was the wrong way around. Are you going to put on your shoes, the gospel of peace? Are you going to listen to where God is asking you to do? Where are your steps going to take you this week? What difference are you going to make as you carry the presence of God into the situations you find? Maybe you're going to put on for the first time the helmet of salvation and acknowledge what God has done for you in sending Jesus to die for you, that your sins are forgiven, that he loves you. Maybe you are feeling brokenhearted and you just need the breastplate of righteousness to know that your heart is safe because God loves you. Maybe that's you today. And when you put the armour on, whatever pieces or piece it might be that you feel you need to take up, how are you going to make sure that it doesn't just end up in a crumpled heap on your bedroom floor by the end of the week? How are you going to keep putting it on? Keep sharpening your sword. Keep remembering the truth that this is a gift to us. This is a reminder of how we can live and operate in strength and power for God's kingdom. I want to recognise there's a lot in here about standing, and it's quite a physical description, and there is no caveat in Ephesians to say that this is just some of us. My weak joints and all, it's not about our physical strength. This is about knowing that God has given us this armour, this reminder of how to operate in a way that will bring his strength, not ours. So if you are physically able to stand, I'd love to invite you to join me as we just pray. If you're not physically able to stand, maybe you can adopt a standing position in your mind, that kind of attitude of being mentally ready. And I'm going to pray this prayer that's from the Urban Saints material that we use in Vineyard Kids and T for 12 with the young people, just about the armour of God. And if you'd like to put the armour back on with me, then you can shout out amen at the end. So Lord, I put on the belt of truth around my waist. Help me, Lord, to listen to and act on your truth alone and not be deceived by the devil's lies. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. Thank you that because of your redemption, I am righteous in Christ. Help me to live my life in a way that honours you. I put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. Lord, I am willing to go anywhere you ask or do anything you ask of me. I stand behind the shield of faith, secure in the knowledge of your goodness, love, and power. I place the helmet of salvation on my head. Thank you, Father, that you have saved me, and all the riches of heaven are mine in Christ. I take up the sword of the Spirit. Bring your word to my mind as I need it, for the glory of your name. Amen. Now, I think that some of you, when I, risked offending you a bit, realise that you are half-dressed, but you'd like to not be half-dressed. And that you want, I think there's a chance this morning just to, not just yet, but to respond and just say, actually, yeah, I want to put it back on. And if that's you, just the simple act of coming to the front in a minute just allows you to do something, to physically do something. I don't have any armour. I mean, you can try that on, but I wouldn't recommend it. But just to come forward and have someone pray with you. And I think some of you, I think there's a group of people here who really want to experience God's word, the Bible, as something living and dynamic and active. And again, if that's you, in a minute I'll invite you forward. And then I think there's some others who, inspired by stories of baptism, would love to just say, that's me. I want to do that. I've not done that before. I want to publicly declare that I follow Jesus. And again, if that's you, I'd love you to come to the front and then we can pray for you. If you're watching online, all those things apply to you, and you can get in touch with us at the office this week if you want to respond, if you want to respond to baptism and get signed up. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to see you here another Sunday. But thanks for joining us. Right. So it's just us now. So if that's you, if you feel the need to respond to any of that or something else, if you just want prayer for healing, can I invite you to come forward now? And I'd love to find some people to pray for you. We've got a bit of time before anyone needs to go fetch the children or before the young people go back, but I just sense there's a number of people here who'd like to respond. I think there's some more of you that are being shy. Yeah, just come forward when you're able to. And if you are a regular in one of our growth groups, you'll spot I need a few people to come and pray. So please do come and pray for those who are stepping forward.